We're going to share some good news to you about this book. It has a lot of good things in there for all of us here tonight. And I just love the book of Colossians. And the theme of this book is Christ in you. I don't know about you, it makes me want to say, hallelujah, what a Savior I got. That Christ is in me, and he's in you. And what a joy it is. Paul wrote this book while he was in prison, you know? And Paul, you think he needs more encouragement than they did, but he didn't found this church. He didn't found this church. It came out from Ephesus, and how the word was spread to them, and they heard the gospel, and the Lord really did a work in their life. But Paul was an apostle to encourage people. You know, that's what we need today. There's a lot of dooms and doubts today, but we need people to encourage people. And one other thing I love to do, being a hospice chaplain, I love to encourage people. You know, when they're down and out, about ready to leave this world, I share the good news, I sing to them, and it does make a difference in their life. It does really make a difference. And this kind of breaks ice with them. But there is a warning in this book to this church that Paul wrote. And I want you to turn to chapter 1, and we're going to go over to chapter 2 for just a moment, just get kind of a background of this. In chapter 2, he tells about being the philosophy of this world that we live in. Look at verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiment of the world, and not after Christ. And you know one thing? This world that we live in is trying to press us in their philosophy and their way of thinking. And we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to let Christ live in us. And Paul wrote a lot in this book to the people at Colossae. And the Lord used him mightily for him. But Christ in you, talks about his presence in your life. The day you asked Christ to be your Savior, he came to live in you through the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? And it's just a wonderful book. But in this book, he's going to give you three things that's very important that we need to know. You know, the Christian life is not coming to church all the time. It's a walk that we have with the Lord. And let's just look at a couple of verses here just for a moment I'd like to share with you. That he wants to look at verse 10 of chapter 1. And here's what he says. He says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And you know, he wants us to please him. And, you know, Christianity is not churchianity. It's not churchianity. It's a relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. We just don't come once on Sunday morning and talk to the Lord. It's not like that. It's every day. Our great high priest is Jesus, isn't he? And he's there at the right hand of God. He's interceding for you. You know what he desires out of us more than anything? That we walk with him. And I'm thankful that he does walk with us, and he wants us to walk with and pleasing him. You know, some people walk in the flesh instead of in the spirit. And one thing he says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being, it says, fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, we know good works won't save us, but we should be willing, as a child of God, we want to help people in a time of need. How about your neighbor, your family, your friends? Sometimes it's people you don't even know. He wants us to be fruitful in showing the love of God. That's what it's all about. And people say, man, what's different in your life? And the only thing that makes me different is Jesus. He changes my life. He changes my attitude. He changes me a vision that I don't have in myself to tell people about Jesus. So that's one of the things that he wants us to do, that we'll walk in the Lord. And then he says over here, and I'd like to just go a little farther in this same book here in Colossians. Look at verse 6 over here in chapter 2 for just a moment. He says, as ye therefore there receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So we see the theme going through this book is that we walk with him. He's in you, and he wants to bless you. He wants to use you, more than you want to be blessed sometimes. But he says, I must decrease and he must increase. He wants more of us than anything. And the third thing he tells us in this book, go to chapter 4 and look at verse 5. And here's the one we really need today we live in. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Those that are unsaved, you gotta have wisdom how you walk before them. People look at your life, you know, they really do. Say, is this guy really real, what he says he really is? Is it really real in his life? And he wants you to be real. So he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Doing what? Redeeming the time. And Ephesians says, redeeming time, for the days are evil. We live in an evil world. This world's not our home. I get more uncomfortable living in this world than ever before. I know you do too. But he wants us to walk toward them in wisdom, redeeming the time. You know, when you get down a lot in your life, when you get older, you look back, and I deal with people with this all the time. One of the major things that they say, I regret I didn't do this. I regret I didn't do that. I regret I didn't get things right with my sister or my brother or whoever it might be. Regrets. The Lord wants to go around like that, you know. If there's something wrong, we need to get it straight. That's what the Lord wants us to do. But we look at this here. Go back to chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 27. And here's the verse. Here's the theme, the main verse of this whole book. In verse 27, it says, whom the God who made known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't it wonderful that we have hope today? The world, they don't have no hope. And he wants us to have hope in him. Now, there's three key words that will unlock this whole book. And here's the three words I want to give to you. Faith, love, and hope. Those are three words that he writes about in this book. He wants us to have. And God wants us to know his will as well. We're going to go back to this outline I want to give to you. And here's the outline I want to give to you. First of all, in verses 1 through 3, our position as a child of God with Christ. The book of Ephesians tells you much about our position, and this book tells you our position in Christ. And then we see verses 4 through 6, our practice. What do we practice in our Christian life? Do we have time for God? Do we have time for the Lord Jesus? Do we have time for prayer? Do we have time to come to church when we need to be here to be a witness to our neighbors? And you might not watch. You might not know this. You know your neighbors watch you. When you leave, pull out of the driveway, come to church, they say, that's something that they got something I don't have. And that's very important. And then the prayer, we're going to see this prayer in this book, and the praise. So got those down, I know you have, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 for just a moment. This is our position in Christ. Paul's writing, and he says, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Let me just tell you this. Everybody in this room, God has a will and a plan and a purpose for your life. You're not just here by accident. He has a plan and a purpose. He has a plan for this church. He has a plan. He has a will, what he wants us to do. So we see this in God's word. And he'll talk about the will of God later on down in this chapter. But he says here, in Timotheus, our brother, and Timothy is real close. He's a young preacher, and Timothy kind of learned much from the Apostle Paul. And then we see here in this next one, and here's one that says, to the saints and faithful brethren. When we think of saints, we say, well, they're saints when they get to heaven. Well, you know you're a saint right now. The day you ask Christ to be your Savior, you're a consecrated person. That's what that word means. You're a consecrated child of God to be used by the Lord any way that he might use you where you're at. But we see that, and by the way, that word saint is mentioned four times in this one chapter. when there's a word keeps going over, it's very important that we belong to the family of God. And that's a joy to know that we have that relationship with Him. And Corinthians says that we're called to be saints. We're called to be saints. The day we ask Christ to be our Savior, we're called to live for Him. And people want, you know what the people want to see today? Reality. People want to see what's real in your own personal life. And that's what He really wants out of our life. But we see here in this verse, and I'd like for you to look at, for just a moment, verse 9 of this same chapter. It says, "This cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, I told you in the first part there, talking about the will of God. It's not something that we have to do, but He wants us to do it. He gives us a desire to do and please the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians just for a minute, in chapter 2. These are the two books. Remember, Paul wrote this book. He wrote a lot of these epistles while he was in prison. You know, Paul didn't go to a town. He didn't say, "What kind of motel you had?" He said, "What kind of jail you have?" And he wasn't a bad guy. All he was doing was preaching the gospel. And all those legalistic Jewish people, they didn't like it. And a lot of times they had him arrested because he preached the truth. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ whatsoever. He told the truth. And they locked him up, put that guy in jail. We got to keep him quiet. It might come that to us here in America, too, one of these days. It's getting closer every day. But anyway, let's look at chapter 2. And let's start with verse 5. In verse 5, it says, "Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." The first thing He does when we are in Christ, that little preposition, word "in," that we're quickened. You know what that word means, quickened? That you're no longer dead in trespasses and sin. You're made alive. You're more alive than you've ever been in your whole life. So He gives us that power. He gives that quicken in our life that we want to share the good news. You can't help but tell good news. You have a tract, you want to give it to somebody. You have a little Bible testament, you want to give it to somebody. And He quickened us. Now look at the next verse. And it says, "And He has raised us up together and made us sit together," this is the preposition, "in heavenly places." In who? In Christ Jesus. So we're exalted as a child of God. We're quickened, we're exalted, we see here in God's word. And then verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful that He does that for us as a child of God. And that great verse over in Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God." So we see here that we're in the Lord Jesus Christ as a child of God. And now we go back to Colossians chapter 1. Now we're going to look at some things that's very important here. Paul's writing these people to encourage them. And the first thing he encouraged them in verse 4, look at verse 4, it says, "Since we heard of your faith." And one thing, the Lord wants you to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, it tells you He wants you to grow in grace. I heard old Dr. DeHaan, he said this, "Either you're growing in grace or you're groaning in disgrace." So we don't be groaners, do we? We want to grow in the Lord and enjoy our salvation, enjoy our relationship with the Lord. But He says here that He wants us to grow in faith. Some ways we have to grow in faith. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life." Sometimes we have to stand up what is right in God's book, what the Bible says. It really does. And then He tells us, you should contend for the faith. He wants us to contend for the faith. And then chapter 2, in the last part of verse 5, it says, "Be steadfast of your faith in Christ." He wanted us to have some backbone and not be ashamed. You know, I was a Before I got saved, I was shy. I wouldn't speak up. But when the Lord comes in your life, he gives you boldness that you never had before. And we need to speak up. You know why our country's in the shape it's in? Because we've never spoken up. We've kept quiet. We didn't want to hurt anybody's feeling. But they keep on going, the liberals. And that's why our nation is in the shape it's in today. We need some steadfastness in the church today, in God's people. And I'm thankful that we can. But we see here that faith is growing. That's what he wants us to do. And here's another word in this same verse I just read to you, in this verse 4, and love which ye have to all the saints. Love should be what? Showing. Love should be showing. You know it? We have faith that's growing, love showing. And look what it says here about love in God's word. He wants us to have love that we don't have in ourselves. And he wants to have, in John 13, verse 35, he tells how you know you're disciples of the Lord. And here's verse 35. It says, by this shall all men know that you have been, are my disciples, if you have love for who? For one another. You know, this church here, we should love one another. There should be no friction whatsoever. We should be in God's will and doing what the Lord wants us to do here. He has a plan and purpose for this church. You're a lighthouse in this neighborhood, in this whole area. You're a lighthouse. You go by many churches, and even in Montgomery, go many churches are closed on Sunday nights. Even so-called preaching churches. They just close the door. They don't have, sometimes they don't even have prayer meeting anymore. That's why there's no power behind the pulpit. No, there's no prayer behind the pulpit. And it says, pray without ceasing. That's what he wants to pray. Pray that it's like it meant your life sometime. Boy, we need to pray for our country. We do. We need to pray for our president. So we see here, faith is growing, love is showing, and here's a great one we want to know. Look at this next one. In verse 5, it says, for hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Man, doesn't that thrill your heart? And love is showing, hope is glowing. So we have love, we have faith, we have love, and we have hope. So we have these three things, and he wants these to be in our life as God's people. Our faith should be growing. I heard a Sunday school teacher one time, he's teaching, saying, hey, I don't need to study. I know this all. I've been studying this all my life. I know this all by heart by now. We should not be that way. There's so much in this book. You have to get refreshed every day in this book. It just brings life to you. It brings it alive. I read the book of Revelation probably about 4 or 5 times. Every time I read it, it's something new I didn't find out before. You never grow old to it, reading God's word. But he wants our hope be glowing. We shouldn't be down in the dump. We know where our citizenship is. It's in heaven. It's reserved for us. And that trumpet is going to sound. We're going to get out of here. And we have a living hope, we have a blessed hope, and a purifying hope. And what else could we want? What the Lord has done for us. And this, but it says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of truth, it says, of the gospel. Now, the gospel is what? The death, the burial, and resurrection, and the Son coming soon, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. You don't hear that too much in the pulpit, too much about his death and burial. You got to have all three. That's the gospel. You take one away, it's not the gospel. You got to have all three of those. You do. And we need it than ever before. And then I want you to go down to verse 9. We're going to go down to verse 9, and we're going to look at the Apostle Paul's prayer. He's praying for these people and their church there in Colossae. They're having some problems. Some false teaching was coming into their churches and Judaism. And the Lord, Paul was warning them what they need to do. And he's praying for them. Can you imagine? Here's a man in prison suffering for Jesus. And he's praying for these people in Colossae. They should be praying for him, you know. Encouraging him. But he's encouraging him. He wrote this letter, sent it to them. And here, his prayer. Look at it. Well, it's a good prayer, too. This prayer, after you pray this, it'll make your socks go up and down when you hear this prayer that the Apostle Paul prays. Look what he says. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to what? Pray. And like I said, we should pray with all the time. Pray without ceasing, it says in Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. Pray for one another. We don't know what people are going through these days that we live in, but the Lord does, and that's why we need to pray. Pray for each other. For you, and then it says, desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I know a great verse, and you probably know this verse in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? He's going to direct your path. He has a plan. You know, before I pull out of the driveway in the mornings to go to work, to a marketplace or hospice, that I pray, Lord, give me an opportunity I've never had before. You know, most of the time he does that. He gives me an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody at in great need right that day. And I can remember two sisters I shared with y'all this morning about. They're in great need. She was about to leave this world. She never heard the gospel. She got saved and her sister got saved. But you got to have discernment in here in this verse. And then he says here, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. He wants you to be fruitful. We need to be productive in our fruitful life. And we know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Those are heavenly fruit that only the Lord can give you. And then the other ones we got to work on every day, you know. But the Lord loves you. He wants that relationship with you. And why does he want us to do this? Be fruitful in our Christian life. It says, by their fruit you shall know them. You know, it says in God's word. He wants you to let the world and let people know that he is real. And you want the best for them as well as the best for yourself because Jesus made the difference in your life. What a great joy this is to know what he is doing here. But today we also need to have discernment. We need discernment today. There's a lot of false teaching out there. A lot. And a lot of false music being in the churches are very false. Man, they don't sing songs like we sing tonight. They don't even mention Jesus. They're almost like a love song. A lot of them. And we got to have discernment. And people are caught up in these cults. And they don't even know it sometimes. So we see here, we need to have God's discernment. And then he says here, what a prayer this is. And he says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have no power in ourselves, do we? Man, I'm weak, and I need his power every day. And this is what Paul's praying for these people, that they will not let these false teachers come into their church and destroy it. The devil will come in, and we'll let him. I know when I was up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I had a guy, he worshiped the devil. Man, I had to deal with that guy. Every time I saw him coming up to my door, I had to plead the blood, no doubt. I had to plead the blood. But the Lord is greater than any. Thank the Lord that he is. But we see here, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and to all patient. And he gives us patience. Sometimes we go through tribulation that we get patience, you know. Sometimes we like things done like this, don't we? Sometimes the Lord said, wait. Wait on me. Let me do it. You planted the seed. You water. Now let me bring the fruit out of this what you've told them. I had a man told me, I met when I was down in Mobile, working in a church down there. I talked to this man in the hospital about salvation. I planted, I watered, and I didn't see no results until about maybe 10 years later. A good friend of mine knew him, and he said, "You know what? That young man, that man you talked to in the hospital bed, he came to know the Lord." And I asked him, "Who led you to the Lord?" He said, "The only one I know that Ron Beckham, shared the gospel with me. I didn't receive it then, but I received it later. And so our job is to do that. Okay? Plant, water, let God bring the increase. And that's his wonderful job. Now, here's something else that we needed. We see the prayer. And here's something that's very important in all of our life as God's people that wants us to do. And we're going to start with verse 12, okay? And verse 12, it starts out giving thanks. Boy, how we need to thank the Lord that the Lord can use people like us. He don't have to, but he does. And I like this verse. It says here, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's that word saint again. And you know what a light supposed to do? Reflect the light. We're supposed to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. We are consecrated God's people, and he wants us to reflect that light in this dark and sinful world. And I see a lot of things going on in this world. People are living together, and they're not married. They got children all over the place. I never seen anything like it in my days. They think it's all right, you know. And they don't like me to tell them it's not all right. But anyway, I tell them anyway. But the Lord has to deal with them, you know, and he will. But we see here that he wants us to pray. And in this verse 7, it says, and here's another verse about being steadfast in our faith. It says, and rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Aren't you glad that you're on the right foundation? And that right foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died, who rose, and is right at the right hand of God. We got the right foundation. And we have the right foundation. When the storms of life come, it won't fall like a house that's built on the sand. We're on the rock of the Lord Jesus, says in Psalms. But look at chapter 3, please. Chapter 3. And verse 15. And here we go. In verse 15, it says, and let us, I like that, I mean, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body. And what? Be ye what? Thankful. That's a wonderful verse. I just like that verse. And you know one thing about our salvation? He wants you to be joyful. He don't want us to walk around like we eat lemons and grapefruit all the time. He wants us to be joyful. And so, you know how you spell joy? Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. That's how you get joy. That's what he wants you to have in your life. And I just love that verse. It says, and love the peace of God. Aren't you glad you got the peace of God tonight? Boy, it's lasting. He gives you peace. A lot of things might be happening around us. He gives us his peace. Isn't that wonderful? God's peace. And he wants us to. Now look at chapter 4 and verse 2. Look what it says here. Continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. You know what I think about watch? I think about we should always be looking for opportunity to share our faith. You know, when we go, and you know, a lot of times, we all know the Romans Road, but you know what people want to hear from you more than anything? How you got saved. How did I come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior? And we know Romans Road, how to point somebody to Jesus, but sometimes you don't always use every step to every person every time. I'll tell you an experience I had when I was a pastor. I had two people go visit one night, and the Lord just let go to this house here. And I go and knock on the door, and here's two young couples that just gotten married, and they're in there watching Billy Graham over the television. This gave an invitation how to be saved. And they asked me, can you lead us to the Lord? And I said, man, I'd be more happy to lead you to the Lord. The Lord just opened the door, you know. And when he does, we need to step in that door. He just wants us to step in that door. But he wants to be prayerful and be watchful. When you go out and drive out of your driveway tomorrow and where you go to work, where it might be, say, Lord, how can you use me today? Put somebody in my life that I can point them to you, you know? And when we do that, the Lord's going to do a marvelous thing. He really will. I've seen it happen in my own personal life. And go back to Colossians chapter 1. We're about to finish up here. And here's what I want to, this last couple of verses. I want verse 13 and verse 14. Now, he says about giving thanks, the Apostle Paul, and that we're partaker of the inheritance. We go out a wonderful inheritance, eternal life in heaven forever. Now, look what he says, verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Aren't you glad that the Lord delivered you out of the power of darkness? Man, we're set free. Boy, you're talking about freedom. We do have freedom in Christ. And we're not in that darkness. We're not in that sinful life anymore. We have a new life. The abundant life. And it's just so wonderful to know that He did it all. He did it all. I didn't have anything to do with it. All I had to do was accept it and believe it, that God would do it. But we're not in darkness anymore. The power of darkness. There's a lot of power of darkness in this world. Satan knows his days are almost up. And we're going to see a lot of bad things before the rapture. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Look what else he says here in God's word. It says, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We're in the family of God. Boy, that's just a wonderful. And then here's 14. Verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That we're delivered, we're forgiven. Our sins as far from the east from the west and be remembered no more. And what a joy that is, that we know that our sins are forgiven. When we stand before Jesus, we will not have to give account for our sin. I like that 1 John 1 and verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all, not some, all sin. That's our past, our present, and our future sin are under the blood of Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful picture that we have here in this chapter 1 of Colossians. It encourages all to live for him, live right, that God can bless you in the work that you're doing for him. And I'm just thankful. I like that song. There's a little song, well, y'all probably know it, but I like that. I learned it when I was, not many people know it, but I'm gonna sing it to you and then we'll have the invitation song. But it goes like this. If you know it, sing it along with me. It goes, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. What a wonderful friend we have in Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. We'll ask song leader to come up and lead us a song. And if you have a need.